The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Penix is going to throw on first down, looking toward the end zone. He has man coverage for Roma Dunze. He's got it! Touchdown, Roma Dunze! Up the left sideline! A Biletnikoff kind of catch! His second touchdown catch of the night! And the Huskies lead 22-10!
First and 10 at the 31-yard line. Off play action. Ewers back to throw. Looking, swings it out. Down the boundary, wide open. Gunner Helm! Helm! Touchdown, Texas! How about the big junior? Gunner Helm!
Ball's on the two. Maryland's got to get it across the 20-yard line. Third and 18. Tagovailoa in a shotgun into the end zone. Takes the snap, back to pass. Looking, he's going to fire a deep ball down the near sideline. Jump ball, intercepted! Mikey Sandristel's got it!
If you want to call it Survival Saturday, it would be appropriate after several teams held off upset bids to keep their playoff hopes alive, thanks to Clearfield. For those clips, as Texas toppled Iowa State, Washington held off Oregon State, Michigan stopped Maryland. All three on the road, by the way. A nice prelude to rivalry week and our annual Thanksgiving parade of college football.
Gobble, gobble.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, Graham.
Thank you. Same to you.
I tell you, I'm trying to recall a season in recent memory where we've had so many of these top teams continue to just escape these games. Nobody losing. It's been the same each week. Yeah, here we go again. And this is a year of parity, so I felt like somebody's going to fall at some point. They haven't done it.
We have not had a chaos Saturday yet.
We really haven't. And it could be chaos for the committee in the end.
Maybe that'll be part of rivalry week. But before we get to that, there have been more coaching changes. It was announced on Sunday. Dino Babers is out at Syracuse. He was there 8 years. The Orange are not eligible for a bowl after losing to Georgia Tech last weekend. That makes 4 of the last 5 years the team has not made the postseason. But one coach apparently will be retained. According to several reports, Arkansas Athletic Director Hunter Yurecek told players and staff members that Sam Pittman will be retained as the Hogs coach for another year. This came after reports had surfaced last week that he was on his way out.
Well, we like Sam Pittman. You know why? Because he likes Stevie Nicks. Remember that?
That's right.
He said that at Media Days one time. He's a nice guy, and he's had a tough year, but let's go back to when he got there. They were awful. They had lost 19 straight SEC games. He's turned it around a little bit. Had a 9-win season. They had another bowl game last year. This year is the mulligan. I think it's worth another shot for him. As for Babers, he's been around for quite a while now, and he had a high point about 5 years ago when they won 10 football games, but he's been trending downward.
That's right. This weekend, we say goodbye to the bulk of the teams and several rivals in the Pac-12. After the season ends, 10 of the 12 members will depart for other leagues, leaving Washington State and Oregon State as the lone remaining members. For most, it's a sad weekend to see many of the rivals leave. So says the voice of the Oregon Ducks, Jerry Allen.
I don't think until the end of the year, when the final game is played, will I really understand and accept that we're not going to make those rounds anymore, that we're moving to the Midwest. Now, we've been there before, played at Michigan, played at Ohio State, you know, Illinois, Wisconsin. So been in the Midwest, but not on a regular basis. And that's the big thing.
I'm a traditionalist. I wish things kind of stayed the same. And to see teams mixing Pac-12, Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12, it just doesn't seem right.
It's a good swan song, though. The Pac-12 has had a banner year. Don't know how it's going to end up, but look at all the quarterbacks. Possibly a few could be in the Heisman Trophy ceremony. And even, you know, this primetime splash was pretty fun at the beginning, at least, right?
You're exactly right, yeah. And I feel for Jerry, by the way, because he's been to all these places. He's been there a long time, and he's going to be missing some of his old buddies. I can say that for him. As we've already mentioned, Rivalry Week is here. And with it, several teams needing a win for a bid in their respective conference championship games, others will have a major impact on playoff race, but none bigger than Ohio State, Michigan, which takes place in Ann Arbor this year. It's been a while since Michigan has been the favorite in this matchup, 2018 to be exact. The Wolverines are a little more than a field goal pick. Still a chance the loser gets into the playoff, but considering the number of teams in the mix, not likely. making this one of the more important battles in series history. Ohio State has lost two straight to the Wolverines, and that has Ryan Day and the Buckeyes motivated.
To say, you know, how do you rank it? I don't know, but we've been waiting a long time for this one. Again, it started in the offseason, but we got in the locker room after the Minnesota game. You could already see it. You know, guys were talking about it already. There was a great look in their eye. We moved on to it the minute that clock hit zero, and a huge week of preparation getting ready for this one. Our guys just have a great look in their eye.
Maybe it's the losing streak, but maybe it's also a little of this business about Michigan and stealing signs that has him fired up.
It fueled the rivalry even more. And we talked about this landscape for the CFP. It'll change this weekend. A lot may depend on how this game goes, not just who wins and who loses, but how they win or lose. If it's lopsided, it might be the end for one of these teams who is out in the playoff mix. But, you know, they could get in. They did it last year. Ohio State did. 2 years in a row for Michigan after 15 of 16 by the Buckeyes prior to that.
Yep.
How's the fact that Jim Harbaugh is not even going to be on the sideline? Again, you got to think that is possibly going to have an impact on this game.
Maybe it has. Maybe a little bit more this past weekend and the win over Maryland. Maybe not, but we'll see. There are bizarre situations, but the Florida State game this weekend might take the cake. Both teams are without their starting quarterbacks after an injury last weekend. Graham Mertz went out and the Gators lost to Missouri, while the Seminoles are fighting to stay in the playoff discussion, but will do it without Jordan Travis after his injury in the win over North Alabama. That leaves the question as to what the committee does with a team without their starting quarterback. FSU coach Mike Norvell was emphatic in stating his team will play it out no matter the circumstances.
It's always about us. Through challenge, through adversity, through, you know, whatever the perspective is on outside of people that think that know our team, I live with them every day. I watch them every day. I watch their work. I watch, you know, their heart, the ability, all the things that are important to winning football games and, you know, being able to sustain success. You know, you never want to see anybody go down, you know, but I can't control what anybody on the outside says about our team, but we can, you know, make our impression by how we play and how we do the things that we do. So these guys, to say that they don't hear it, no, that's not real either. Thank God the opinions of others don't dictate what our actions are going to be. You know, a year ago, nobody thought we were worth a crap, right? They proved them wrong, right? Big expectations coming into this season and, you know, people waiting for us to slip and fall. They're continuing to get better, right? Quarterback goes down. Oh, well, that must be it. That's why we get to play the game.
Tradition with this committee has been we will not try to predict what's going to happen. Therefore, Florida State should still be in the mix no matter what, right, until they lose.
I would say yes, but this is a different kind of year. And I think that's why this weekend and next weekend in the ACC Championship is very important, because they need to show that they're still the team that deserves to be in the top four if they're up against some other teams that possibly have a, you know, a say in that matter. And I think there will be. We've got nine teams in the mix right now that could be in there. And Florida State, even undefeated, could be on the table, you know, for whether they should be in or not.
And that is the problem for a lot of teams, in the fact that the table is full and there's a lot of people trying to eat at this table.
Well, they've shown, the committee has over the past several weeks, that you keep winning, you stay where you are. And they could always change their mind at the very end.
And they have before.
They have.
Matter of fact, yep. Well, like so many other rivalries, the Iron Bowl has its quirks. Lately, the Auburn Tigers have been successful against the Crimson Tide when playing in the friendly confines of Jordan-Hare Stadium. 2 years ago, Alabama needed a last-minute drive to tie the game and later won it in four overtimes on the way to the SEC Championship. And we all know about the Kick Six, which the 10th anniversary is being celebrated this week as part of the festivities. Since Nick Saban became the Tide coach, Auburn's 4-4 at home against Bama. Auburn fans did have to sit through a defeat last week at the hands of New Mexico State, but they might also have on their minds how close the Tigers came to beating Georgia back in September. That, according to Jason Caldwell of AuburnUndercover.com, that's what some are considering when debating the outcome of this one.
They ran the football against Georgia. They limited Georgia in the run game. Those are things that travel and hold up no matter who you're playing. And so I think if you're Auburn, you go, look, if you execute and do the things you're supposed to do, then yeah, that'll give you an opportunity in a game like that. And we saw it 2 years ago when the Auburn team that wasn't very good, but they did those things. They played mistake free, played good defense, and it kept them in a game, and in a game they should have won. And so I think if you're Auburn, you go, look, just if you play and do the things you're supposed to do, then you'll have a chance.
I don't know who said it, but it's so true. You get a different team every week.
True.
And on top of that, fans and some people who cover this for a living tend to look backwards to try to figure out what's happening ahead. I don't know that you can do this here.
I don't know. Look out, Graham. There he goes. Davis. He just ran right by. He's still running.
He's still
10 years later.
Yeah.
That Georgia game was a while ago. It was September. Georgia, a different team. Auburn's a different team. I think both are better, by the way. I think Auburn's improved. I know last week what happened was an anomaly. It had to be. But this team's going to come back inspired. This is the biggest game of the year for Auburn. And with a defense that has been pretty feisty, I think they got a shot in this game. And if they can stop the run and run the football, that gives any team a chance.
And in the case of Alabama, do they need to make a good showing to stay in this talk about the playoff?
I think Alabama's biggest test is just getting by Auburn, winning in next week.
There you go. And one more thing. Officially, the final curtain on football in the Pac-12 conference is not falling this week or next. Plans are to keep the league afloat for one more year, thanks in part to a lawsuit filed by the two remaining schools, Oregon State and Washington State. If it does survive the abandonment of the 10 teams, it will look much different than it has over the course of history. But that's nothing new. Change has been a part of this league ever since it started. Oregon State and Washington State were two of the earliest members dating back to 1915 when the Pacific Coast Conference was born. Cal, Oregon, Oregon State, and Washington were the original members. Washington State joined a year later, followed by USC, UCLA, and Stanford. But in 1959, the league actually disbanded due to a scandal involving pay for play. In July of that year, the Athletic Association of Western Universities, it's a mouthful, was formed and unofficially became known as the Big Five Conference until 1962. At that point, some of the old members rejoined UCLA, USC, Washington, Stanford, and Washington State to form the Pac-8, and the name stuck until 1974, when Arizona and Arizona State joined the league. The new Pac-10 was born, lasting until the 90s and the early 2000s, until 2010, when Utah and Colorado was accepted into the league. This came after several schools had inquired about joining the Pac-10, including Texas, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and others. USC will leave with the most football titles, while Arizona has the least with one. A few of the rivalries will stay intact, but others such as Oregon, Oregon State, which is the most played rivalry in the Pac-12 history, Washington, Washington State, are up in the air. But chances are there will be more changes coming. And figuring out who might play who in the future is as inconsistent as the membership in the league. This week's U.S. Farm Race Catfish Catch of the Week takes us to Miami Gardens and the Hard Rock Stadium as the Louisville Cardinals clinched a berth in the ACC Championship game with this Jack Plummer pass to Kevin Coleman Jr. for 58 yards to beat the Hurricanes of Miami. Jody Demling, with a little help from color man John L. Smith, has the call on the Louisville Sports Properties Network.
Plummer.
Here we go.
He's got it out.
Oh, they ran into each other.
The two Miami
receivers. He's going to score.
Coleman.
Oh.
He's going to score all the way down as the Miami defenders run into each other.
Remember, for the tailgate tent of the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. Lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Get the best gear from the top brands, all at the prices you'll love. And now, shopping is more convenient than ever at Academy.com and on the Academy app. Enjoy free shipping on orders of $25 or more with sign-in, plus easy in-store or curbside pickup. Shop anytime, anywhere, and find the widest selection of colors, styles, and sizes. From grills to fitness equipment to workout clothes, everything you need to have fun out there is right here at Academy.com.
The Lindy's Football Report.
The Michigan Wolverines reach a milestone. Here's Michael Butler.
College football dates back over 150 years. The first game was played in 1869 between Princeton and Rutgers, then known as the College of New Jersey. The University of Michigan's first game came 10 years later versus Racine College. The game was played in Chicago and won by the Wolverines. 1-0? Don't ask. On Saturday in College Park, Maryland, Michigan got win number 1,000. Despite all the controversy revolving around the program, minus its head coach, this historical mark is worth recognition. Michigan is college football's winningest program. Ohio State, UM's biggest rival and opponent this week in the game, is next and wins with 963. Alabama, Texas, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Penn State, Nebraska are also over 900 wins, as is Harvard and Yale. But right now, this is about Michigan. As the fight song declares, hail to the victors. Quoting the student, Louis Elbel, who wrote it in 1898, now for a cheer. They are here, triumphant. Here they come with banners flying. And stalwart step, they're knighting, with shouts of victory crying. We, hurrah, hurrah, we greet you now. Hail.
Time to bring in Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and LindySports.com. Lynn, happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Graham, and to everybody connected to our network, and particularly, you know, happy Thanksgiving to the people in the audience. We got a lot to be thankful for in this country. God's blessed us all in more ways than we deserve. And with the Lindy's Football Network, we're blessed to have a big audience in a lot of states with a lot of affiliates and a couple of really strong corporate partners. And if that were not the case, we wouldn't be able to have this program. So we're definitely thankful to the people that are listening to us right now and thankful for what we have in this country and for the things with which we've been blessed.
I agree with all of that. And with Thanksgiving weekend, we always have some great games, great rivalries. This year, though, it seems like it, as the old SEC likes to say, it means more.
Yeah, you've got some. It's because you've come down to, you know, the week before, only 1 week before the conference championship games are played, and you've still got eight teams with a legitimate shot at the Final Four, at making the college football playoff. So I do think you've got games that we've been waiting and saying, okay, if these rankings stay the same, it's eventually going to happen. They're going to play each other, and you're starting to get that this weekend, and you're going to have that next weekend. Again, I don't have any problem with where the college football playoff is. I think they've got the right teams there, and it'll take care of itself when some of these other teams play. I think as important, though, as the real significant games on a national platform is I like the fact that you've got in-state rivalries. You know, you've got Mississippi State and Ole Miss and South Carolina and Clemson and to pick any state, and they've got their in-state rivalries. Some of them usually have some bearing on the national picture, but it's not always the case. And I look forward for that as much as for the big games. We do have a number of teams, Graham, that are playing to be bowl eligible. A number of teams that have five wins going into these last ball games, and you got a number of teams with something still to play for, just to be able to become eligible to play in the postseason.
Yeah, you're right. And you mentioned those rivalries. We're about to lose a couple because of what's happening with the Pac-12. For me, that's unfortunate.
Oh, it is unfortunate. Losing Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, Washington State, Oregon State, you know, they're absolutely unfortunate. It's unfortunate for those states. It's unfortunate for those fan bases. You know, I didn't like it when Texas A&M and Texas quit playing. before Texas moves to the SEC. I think too many things, I'm old, people know that, but I think too many traditional things have been broken up in our society and in sports, and that's a loss that I hate we're having.
And we're going to start with two of those that may be gone. Oregon State, Oregon is one of those.
Yeah, I like Oregon to win the game. I think they got more on the line. But Oregon State is a team that absolutely can play a role in what's happening in this college football playoff thing. If Oregon were to lose to Oregon State, then that puts a total different picture on Washington and Oregon, with both of them being right there, right close to each other. I like Oregon to win the game. I think Bo Nix is probably the best quarterback in the country right now, and may win the Heisman Trophy. I'm going with Oregon.
Then the other one is Washington and Washington State.
Once again, Washington State's a good ball team. They're among like the top five in the country in total offense. They could win that game and throw it into a tizzy. I don't think they're going to. I'm going to take Washington to win. I'm taking Oregon and Washington, but I wouldn't be surprised if either one of those goes the other way.
Might be a first. Kentucky and Louisville, with Louisville being in the mix for the playoff, but this one's big.
It's huge. It's huge. And I don't think anybody could have foreseen Louisville being in a position to be in the running for the final four teams. But if everything kind of lined up right, they could be. I think Louisville's a better team. I think they'll win the game. They got more on the line. They've had to make a couple of big comebacks this year. I like Louisville to win it and really put something on the line when they play Florida State for the championship of that conference.
One that has an unusual setup, Florida State and Florida play with neither team having their starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's obviously very unusual. We'll see how that impacts things when they come out with the final college football playoff pairings. I like Florida State to win the game. Overall, they're a better team. They got more on the line. So I think the Seminoles will win it.
The Iron Bowl is in Auburn this year, Alabama-Auburn.
You got to go with Alabama. I would have leaned toward Alabama, but to be honest, not strongly, before what happened last week. And with what happened with Auburn and New Mexico State, I hope people in the audience will read my column on Facebook and Lindy's website talking about that situation and the close of the season. But I think Alabama's going to win the game. They've got to stay in the picture.
Michigan, Ohio State.
Boy, just toss a coin. I've been fluctuating all week. I'm going to take Ohio State, and I'm going to tell you I have absolutely no reason for doing that. If I told you I was going to take Michigan, I'd tell you the same thing. I don't have any reason for doing it. Both good teams. If it's if one team wins 7-6, it's not out of the picture that they get two teams in the college football playoff.
How about your upset special?
I'm going to go with the Jacksonville State Gamecocks, and I'm going to go with them to beat New Mexico State that we talked about a few minutes ago. Jacksonville State, this is their bowl game. Because of that rule that I don't like, that they can't play in a bowl game, they're restricted, as are some other teams, this is their bowl game. And what a better time to do it than against New Mexico State, arguably coming off the biggest win in their football history. So can New Mexico State be up after what happened last week? I think probably not. I'm going to take the Gamecocks to win that.
Lynn, once again, thank you and happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone in our audience.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.